This magnificent passage in our gospel is one of those that grabs us and kicks our imagination into high gear. We hear this amazing thing happening to Jesus and our juices begin to flow. Peter, James, and John see Jesus transfigured, Moses and Elijah appearing. And we say to ourselves something along the lines of, if only I could have been there. Am I right? It's inside all of us, the desire to be there. If only I could have been there, then things would be different for me and my relationship with God. If only I could experience God like that, then my faith would be unshakable and I would never doubt again. Or maybe if I'd have been there, I'd have handled it differently than those fishermen did. I surely wouldn't be babbling about tents, and I surely would never have doubted Jesus' divinity after such an experience. We say to ourselves, if only I could have had an experience of God, my life would be different. And there's truth in that. An experience of God can change our lives if we are open to it. Look at Abram in our first reading. There is God's coming into the life of a man who, if he is open to it, will be the seed for a great nation, a people who will be God's own for all time. And through this nation, God will then come to the world. This is no small thing. But for all this to happen, this desert dweller, this childless old man, has to be open to the experience of God. The experience of God is intended to change us. But are we really ready for the experience? And what is our expectation of a God experience, of interaction with the divine? And this is what I'd like to say a few things about this morning. We tend to think of the experience of God on our terms rather than on God's terms. This is a very human thing to do, but scriptures are filled with examples of men and women who discovered that such a thing will happen on God's terms, in God's time, and in God's way. Peter, James, and John probably had all kinds of notions about what Jesus ought to be doing. And then on Tabor, God flexes some divine muscle, and suddenly these men are reduced to jello in his presence. Abram has spent years waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise to give him an heir, much less make him the nation, father of a nation. He's growing older and older and more despondent. And suddenly God speaks, reassures him, and increases his promise to Abram to include land for this nation to grow in. So if we really want an experience of God, then we need to live our lives in a manner that is ready to receive him at any time, in any place, and in whatever way God chooses. Also, we might think about how ready we are for the experience of God, especially anyone who is wanting a deep, world-rocking encounter that we hear about with Abraham and the disciples. Look again at these two encounters. God comes to Abram. He draws him closely, and a deep, terrifying darkness envelops him. God comes close to the three men on Tabor, and a cloud envelops them. The shadow of God falls upon them, and they are frightened. There is terror in meeting the Almighty, and well, there should be. I think it unfortunate today that so many have absolutely no fear of God at all. It's been rationalized away so that we can continue to feel good about our lives and who we've become. But an encounter with God will lead to an encounter with truth. Truth not only about who God is, but the truth of who we really are. The God who created everything also created us and did so without breaking a sweat. And the moment we see that, we will stand in fear because we are in the presence of something far greater than us. In such a moment, if we are capable of being open to the truth, we will also then discover that this great Creator made us to love us. And in this realization, terror becomes awe and respect. It is good to remember that there are those in Scripture who don't fare so well in their encounter with the Almighty because they will not accept the truth. Pharaoh of Egypt and his whole army, the Philistines and their army, the Canaanite armies. One glance from God, and they are consumed in chaos, fear, and destruction. So, are we really ready for an encounter with God? Or have we placed ourselves on equal terms with He who created all things and therefore have no fear? It calls us to something we're not very good at these days in our culture: introspection, self-examination. You know, just as a note of interest, the Psalms have a name for people who have no fear of God. They're called wicked. Check out Psalm 36. Now, someone may raise the point that God, the Almighty Father, has sent Jesus to show us a loving God, not a God to be feared. And that is a good argument. But the truth of God's love for us does not in the least diminish the magnitude of God's power and authority over all things, and our need to be humble in the shadow of that. Was there anyone in the gospel who found terror in the presence of Jesus? Sure. We just mentioned Peter, James, and John on Tabor, but what about the guards who come to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? We're here for Jesus. And he replies, I am. And they collapse to the ground in terror of just a glimpse of who and what they're dealing with. In John's gospel, Pilate is interrogating Jesus when the Sanhedrin shout out that Jesus deserves to die because he claims to be God. And at this, Pilate is suddenly filled with fear. His own wife is having bad dreams about the encounter. Judas the Iscariot kills himself in the terror of his betrayal. The guards at the tomb fall unconscious in fear as the glory of God walks alive out of the grave. Are we ready for an encounter with God? How certain are we of the outcome of such an encounter? This is important because God does want us to encounter Him. He wants us to know Him. But it's going to be on His terms. It has to be, or it won't happen at all. So now let me highlight the good news in all this, because at this point you might be saying, well, Bob's talking a lot about fear. What about our loving God? What happened to Him? Well, throughout human history, as you know, God has slowly been revealing more and more of Himself. Initially through signs and wonders and a voice from heaven and the voices and actions of the prophets. And then God comes in the person of Jesus, placing Himself firmly among us in history, becoming flesh and blood just like us. After His death, resurrection, Jesus ascends to heaven to be with the Father. But as He goes, He promises that He will never leave us alone. And where He once lived with us, now He will live in us. He sends the Holy Spirit to do that. God is very aware of our human condition and our fears and our difficulties in approaching Him. But He wants us to encounter Him. He wants us all to have the experience of God. He wants it so much that now, and history, he comes to us in the Holy Spirit to actually live inside of us. And there is nothing to fear in an encounter with the Holy Spirit, because this is the fruit of the love between the Father and the Son. It is the animation of the love of God dwelling in us, so that it is no longer necessary to look beyond our own heart and soul to experience God. God has thrown the door wide open on an encounter with Him. We don't need a burning bush, a Mount Tabor, or to see Him to ascend into heaven. Those things are nice, they're good, but we don't need them. Yes, there are people who have these extreme instances of God, but we don't need these extremes, because we can have life-altering encounters with God in the power of the Holy Spirit as we engage in the sacraments and the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, in prayer, and in witnessing Christ to others. I promise you, if it's been years since you've been to confession, go to the sacrament, make a good confession, and you will experience God. Receive communion in a true state of grace, and you will encounter God. Pray for someone who has wronged you, and then go and forgive them. And I promise you, your life will change. Spend 30 minutes a day in prayer, real heartfelt prayer, and you will meet God. Feed the hungry. Take care of someone who's sick. Visit someone in jail. Make a real sacrifice for someone who has died in sin. Do the works of mercy, and you will be astounded at where you will meet God. Stand before another and give witness that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and you will never be the same. These things, they can only be done in the power and grace of the Spirit of God dwelling within us. And there is nothing to fear in any of this. There are many fruits of the Holy Spirit, but fear is not one of them. So, are we ready for an experience of God? The experience of Abram with God belongs only to Abram. The experience of Peter, James, and John belongs only to them. We should never be overly concerned with someone else's experience of God, because we don't know what God is doing in that other person. Let's be more concerned with what God is trying to do in us, because God now invites us to our own unique experience of the divine. And we will never know what it looks like till we give it a try. All of this still happens on God's terms. But to paraphrase Jesus, His terms are light and easy. As we live our experience of God in this life, there is a further invitation to an everlasting encounter with God in heaven. Are we ready?